Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Anna, God, I love that banana Anderson.
Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Hava Nagila Weber. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fun motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch and talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me as usual is my wonderful, lovely co-host, Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
How you doing this lovely Tuesday morning?
I'm doing so great. Thank you.
Good. So glad to hear that. We are so excited because in just 2 days from now, we are doing our first ever show in Denver, Colorado. We know we got a lot of Crappens fans there. That's why we're going there. But tickets are still available. So if you want to get tickets to that show, we're going to be covering Real Housewives of Dallas. We highly recommend you come because we always have a great time at our shows. If you're worried about rolling solo, don't worry. You will make friends. We get a lot of people who are apprehensive about being alone at the show, and then they all make friends with all the other solos and groups, and then they're like, oh my god, best night ever, you know? So it's going to be super, super fun. And then the very next day on Friday, our tickets for our Dallas show go on sale. Those go on sale at 9 a.m. Eastern, which will be 8 a.m., I believe, Dallas time, I think.
There's two time zones there. They're Mountain and Central. I mean, Texas.
In Dallas?
It's huge.
Oh, my God.
No, not in Dallas, just in Texas.
Oh, in Texas. Well, either way, like, look on your clocks, figure it all out, because we anticipate this one will be a big seller. So don't miss out on your opportunity, because our show in Charleston last week sold out in 60 seconds. So this one, you'll probably have a little bit more time, but the point is that sometimes our shows just, whoop, those tickets sell. So go line up Friday morning, buy those tickets. And of course, we have two shows in New York coming up next month, which will be fabulous. Our New York crowd is one of our favorite crowds of all time. And then we have Seattle in November, and then Nashville in December. So it's going to be an amazing last quarter of the year, and we're all going to celebrate together by watching Bravo and showing up. And on top of that, Rondell, what do we have in that merch shop of ours?
We have new shirts called Hey Bitch for Tamara. So go get those. They're Crappens merch. They're only available through September. So go get them. And if you want to hear the Hey Bitch song, well, you're lucky because it's in your feeds right now if you subscribe.
Yeah.
That's being posted today as an MP3. So download and play it. It's your full jam.
Yeah.
You know, we need a fall jam, okay? I'm sick of these pumpkin spice commercials.
Yeah.
We need something to counteract it, okay? This is Betch Spice.
Yeah, Betch Spice. I like it. Hey Betch, the musical. No, it's a great song. By the way, it's a great song. You do such a good job. I mean, it's like real music. You know?
It's like real. Babe. It's GarageBand, you know.
Is it really GarageBand? It sounds like you composed it all originally.
Well, I did, but in a garage band, you know, they make it very easy. Get a little keyboard and some, you know, pray to Beyonce.
Yeah.
Before you know it.
Oh yeah, this Ronnie's song was it did get the blessing of Beyonce, so it's sort of like a Beyonce song at this point.
Beyonce.
Yeah. So why don't we turn our attention to The Real Housewives of Orange County, which was off last week. Feels like it was forever ago that it was on.
And, really? No wonder this... I forgot that it was off last week. No wonder this fight seems like it's taking too long. I mean, we have watched a lot of Orange County, so I just thought maybe I'm just getting sick of fighting, you know. But then, of course, I'm not sick of fighting. I love it. It gives me life.
Yeah. This week's episode opened up on Vicky and Shannon's birthday golf party. And I was like, wow, that felt like it was 2 months ago. I feel like the last... Was that before we were in... We even went to... Atlanta. I was like, when was this?
it seems like a really long time ago. And you know, these shows put little subliminal messages in your brain. And my dad's birthday is coming up, and I'm going to be in Texas. And so I thought, I'm going to plan his party this year. And I'm planning to get it putt-putt.
Miniature
golf. And I thought, why would I do? I mean, we used to do that when we were kids, but. Mm-hmm. I'm not going through my midlife crisis yet. You know, I'm not like reaching back to child. I haven't made childhood a great thing in my brain yet. I'm not at that point.
No.
So I was like, why did I do it? And then, of course, here we are. And I realized I'm just being brainwashed by this effing show, as usual.
Yeah. Do you know, I think there's actually a difference between putt-putt and miniature golf. We always use them interchangeably. But I think that one of them, perhaps even putt-putt, has like a standardized... course. It's always like the same thing, and I think it's more an emphasis on like little wooden angles and curves, as opposed to miniature golf, which I think has like windmills and like fanciful things happening, I think, or it's the other way around. But just think about that before you do your party planning, because I wouldn't want your dad to be expecting a windmill and then he is set up at a course where it's just like, ooh, a right angle.
Oh, whatever. My dad's happy with anything that he's not paying for a steak dinner for an entire family and, you know, like putting up with the rest of our bullshit when we try and throw him a party. Because we're like Real Housewives. When we throw a party for my dad, it's always for us. It's our friends. It ends up being his money. Yeah. So I figured let's just do some putt-putt. Sometimes my dad just needs a blizzard from Dairy Queen and a little putt-putt.
Heck, you know? I would go. I was obsessed with putt-putt when I was a kid, and I still love it to this day. And all we have here in like Los Angeles, the only putt-putt we can go to is like a Boomers up in Sherman Oaks that's so shitty that it's just like decrepit rotting wood. It's like in worse shape than half the sunken ships in the Atlantic, you know?
Well, I'm calling it now. Putt-putt's coming back, people.
Putt-putt, bring it back. Bring back
putt-putt. I mean, they brought back donuts, for Christ's sake, okay? We were, like, in lines for months to go to Krispy Kreme back in the day when that came out.
Yeah.
And then we were around the corner for fucking hamburgers at the Shake Shack. Like, that's like a hamburger's new. It's time to bring back a little old thing called putt-putt. There, I'm sticking with it.
I like it. We can call it putt-squared. Anyway... So speaking of puttering around, let's go to this golf party with Vicky and Shannon, where it picks up like right in the middle of the fight. I had forgotten that there was even like a cliffhanger. I thought it was like a fight, end of episode, new episode begins, and Shannon's making herself a smoothie. But no, we are actually in the middle of this fight still, where the whole fight was about Shane, because Shannon had made this offhand comment being like, well, you know, like if David had done something like that, if I had left David alone with the kids too long, it would be a problem, it would be an issue. And then, of course, Tamara's like, oh my God, Shannon's been saying that Shane is abusive, you know?
It's just like abuse when you're walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the big fight. I had forgotten, obviously, that we're in a huge cliffhanger as well. And the music's like, dun, 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 dun. And then it's a guy mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
Which is so this show. So we get back to the fight, and Tamara's like, Shannon has just walked off crying, you know.
It's sort of like the fake walk-off, where you sort of like, you walk about 10 feet and then you circle back around to just put an emphasis on why you were walking away in the first place. Like, I'm just gonna say one last thing and then I will do a full walk away.
Do you know what I go through every day? Yep. Shannon is pacing around in her Bermuda shorts or whatever, all upset. And Tamara is still going off in her almost return to Satan voice, which I'm enjoying.
I was really happy. And Kelly's like, oh, you upset her. Now look at her. She's upset. And Tamara's like, too bad. Too bad, bitch. Jesus always says, if someone's mad, too bad.
Bring me your lonely. Bring me your poor so I can tell him, shut up, bitch.
Yeah, that's what the Statue of Libs says. Bring me a tired Yipora so I could shame them and get the hell out of my boat.
The Statue of Jesus Liberty, bitch.
I pledge allegiance to the too bad.
I pledge allegiance to the bitch of the bitch states of bitch America, bitch.
And to the bitch public for which it stands, one bitch, under God, indivisible, but liberty and bitchness for bitches.
And Shanna's just ratifying the Constitution with,
I'm just going to have a nacho.
We the Bedores.
So Tamara, of course, is making this all about herself, which mm-hmm. she's accusing Shannon of doing. But of course, this really means it's all about Tamara. Because yeah. she's like,
when somebody goes after your husband, as a wife, you get offended.
And I love when Tamara gets like super evil Tamara evil, because she gets her possum squint, which yeah. is my favorite Tamara look. And she's in a tennis outfit, which or golf outfit, which is almost as bitchy as tennis.
Yes.
And then she sits up really straight. Like, she suddenly gets perfect posture and yeah. starts, she's swinging around her little pigtail thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just classic Tamara.
And then when the other women return to the table, because everyone has scattered for various reasons, but now everyone's back, and Tamara's like, yeah, Shannon just got up and yelled and cussed at me, and I was standing up for you. I was standing up for you, Emily. And, you know, so of course she's turning the table against Shannon. She's like, I know what it feels like to have a husband who's attacked. I know what that feels like. I'm like, really? Because you have actually gone and attacked almost every single husband in the history of this show.
Yes, Tamara.
Often with good reason, but still, you have done it.
Yeah, you're still the monster under the bed, okay? Stop yelling at the bed. It's covering you. It's giving you shelter. Shanna's like, Tamara, it's coming at me full force, and I don't know why. Best friends don't say they don't care about the other's feelings.
Yeah, and then she goes and storms off. And Shannon does a classic Shannon thing, which is she locks herself into a bathroom. So now she's, like, in the bathroom next to, like, the Mars bars and Skittles by the, like, the concession stand. And Kelly is like, Shannon, come on, get out of there. Shannon. She's like, no.
I love how she said it. She goes, no.
No.
Like a little kid.
You need to relax. You.
Shannon, relax.
No, seriously, you need to get out of there. Shannon.
So finally, Shannon, you know, Shannon's like, well, this could be a scene where Kelly's calling me fat. So I'm going to take it, because the last time they were in a bathroom together was when Kelly was like, you're fat, stop eating. So Shannon's like, well, at least she's being nice this time. So she lets her into the bathroom, and she's like, why is she coming for me? Kelly's like, you need to tell her. Stop attacking.
This is not
okay.
So meanwhile, Tamara's just drunk at the table, and she's like, Emily, Patch is a hardworking woman. She doesn't need her husband. She has something. It's like, okay, Tamara, relax.
Yeah, she doesn't need her husband to live. And Emily's like, I don't. I make more money than him. Seriously? I wear the pantalones and this famiglia's.
Did you see that? That was some personality. I used a word from a different language, or el languagecito.
That lady is an enchilada of math. So Shannon returns, and she's like, meh. And Vicky says, come on, have a shot. You know, it's your birthday. Come on, have a shot. Have a shot. Do a shot. Boo-hoo.
I don't want one.
You know what I need from you? I need less boo-hoo and more woo-hoo.
I'm having 30 to 40 negative thoughts about Tamara Judge over there, and I will not have a shot. I know I could have a shot, but I will not have one. I won't take one. No.
Okay, I don't want you to be mad at me right now. That's not what this is about, Shannon. You just said you don't care about my feelings. That is not what I said.
Like, it's like really what you just said, Tamara.
Yes. Yeah. And so then Shannon's like, you guys have an issue. Like, as in Emily and Gina, she's like, you guys have an issue, and I'm getting drawn into it because I said one sentence. And Tamara's like, you're kind of making it all about you right now. I'm like, no, Tamara, you made it about Shannon. And she's trying to, like, disentangle herself.
She knows this was the worst week in my divorce. Every person said something about them, not just me.
And then the editors, thank God, because usually they hold this stuff for a reunion. They show us a clip of Tamara when they're all talking about the husband at that dinner at the mall or wherever they were.
Yeah.
When Tamara's like, it makes you think, what kind of husband is he?
Yeah, exactly. See, classic Tamara. Classic Tamara.
Yeah, classic Tamara. So Vic is like, you guys are the best friends in the world. And you know, sometimes you just got to defrost the chicken together and say, you know what? We're going to have some Aldos. Aldis. Just calm down, okay?
Yeah, let's have some of the LD wine that we just happen to have on hand. It's from Wine by Wives. Wine by Wives recommends LD wines. So now the cakes come and, you know, there's like a temporary peace and everyone's good. Gina's like, well, guys, I have to get up because nothing is calling. So I'll have to talk to you guys later. So they all get up and they're leaving and everyone's saying goodbye. And Chan's just like sitting in her chair like, well, I'm just going to ignore all the friends who are leaving without even saying happy birthday, Chan. I'll just look and do some Sudoku here. And oh, God, I put 30 to 40 negative numbers in my Sudoku puzzle.
Wow. It's not very fun losing word tower on your birthday.
I guess I'm not the only one who's angry these days. These birds seem to have some issues, too.
Where's an emperor alert when you need one?
Hey, Tamara, you mad at these birds, too? Huh? Do they make them all about themselves, too? Huh, Tamara?
Even those birds are calling you cuckoo, bitch!
All I want to do is eat. Or eat this candy that just keeps falling down on my phone. Wow. Oh, I crushed it. Oh, so Tamara,
Tamara rolls on in the bitchiest way you can roll on in like an ankle thing. Yeah. So she's like rolling on, like flicking her little pigtail back and forth. And Vicky's like, I gotta pee right now. I gotta pee, which means like I'm leaving you because I actually have a date inside, which is why we're here in the first place. Yeah. And Tamara's like, sorry, my back is full. But don't leave me, Vicky. Don't leave me. I don't want to drive with anyone but you, Vicky.
Yeah. And then now Tamara's again doing her whole thing, saying, honestly, Shannon is all about herself. Poor me. What about everyone else? I love when, like, someone, like, gets mad about someone being self-involved because they want to be self-involved instead. Like no, I'm so mad. Why are you being so self-involved right now? I want to be self-involved.
So they go inside, and guess who's there? It's old Steve Lodge Lopez.
Yes, he's thinking about exciting things like poached chicken.
He's like, I'm going to pull someone over today and hit my quota.
Yeah. So Vicky and Tamara sit down with Steve, and Tamara's like, so when's the wedding? You need to marry Vicky right now. You need to. He's like, bye. And he just like disappears.
Yeah. He's like, I need another drink.
Yeah.
And she admits to us, I don't really know Steve because I was fighting with Vicky. So, but if she says he's the guy for her, then I'm totally going to support her by hiring Megan King Edmonds to search him on the internet until she finds enough dirt to bring them down for good, bitch.
Yeah. And Vicky's like, I can't stop looking at him. Look at him. I mean, I put George Clooney on the middle of my vision board, and look what he showed up. It was him. I'm like, if this is what happens when you put George Clooney on a vision board, I am very fearful. I feel like it's like that monkey paw story, right? Like, be careful what you wish for. It's like, I wish for George Clooney and I got Steve Lodge.
Yeah, your vision board needs glasses, Vicky.
it's like wishing for a lobster dinner and then like getting a sardine.
It's like making a vision board on a wax piece of paper and then melting it.
It's like having a vision board of like a Mercedes and then just getting MJ.
So Tamara's like, so are you fucking? And she's like, yeah. Like, I really love him. She's, you're blowing him and fucking him? Are you blowing him and fucking him? Or just fucking him and blowing him? Finger banging? Are you finger banging? Dirty Sanchez or just regular Sanchez? What kind of Sanchez, bitch?
We have a sanitary Sanchez's.
Listen, I hope that everybody is having tons of sex out there, feeling great about themselves, and living their best lives. Please don't tell me about it, especially if you're Vicky. Like, I don't want to think about Vicky's woohoo, okay?
Yeah. I don't want to imagine Steve and Vicky having intimate moments, okay? So I think I'm actually on Team Steve with this, where Steve doesn't want to talk about his sex life with Vicky, and I'm okay with that. I actually support that.
Yeah. That's good discussion. We don't use the word fuck, okay? Like, we don't even like to use it. Like, we don't even use it with ourselves. Like, we don't even say, do you want to fuck, okay? we don't say it, okay? Because who says it? You just do it. Like, who says that? Who talks about it?
Yeah, we call it lemonade. Like, you want to get some lemonade? That's like a code word. So then they leave the golf club, and I loved it. I don't know if you noticed that Vicky totally like tripped and fell onto Tamara's broken foot. I was like, of course. I love a friend who undermines like that.
Yes, and she's like, she goes, yeah, Tamara, if we get married, will we get married? You can be my bridesmaid, like I was yours. Yeah, that's all. That all worked out great.
Yeah, exactly.
That all worked out just great. So Tamara and Eddie are next. I'm like, oh God,
great. Please.
Please.
Great, exciting. Exciting stories from Tales of Suburbia. So Tamara got something from Amazon Prime, and she's apparently she's planning Eddie's 45th birthday party, and because she's like immobile, which is ironic because now she has wheels, but she's immobile, she has to order everything from Amazon Prime. So she got him a suit that has a whole bunch of hearts on it because, you know, like as any supportive wife would do, she's going to call as much attention to his heart condition as possible so he can't get a break for 1 second of remembering that his ticker might flunk out any moment now.
Yeah, I love it. Hearts.
And the dress code is red for the party, you know, just to really drive it home.
All the cocktails are going to be melted lard.
That sounds nice. So,
yum. Lard is back, guys. Like, butt.
Yeah.
So he's like, so she's making him move furniture, which is kind of funny because she's like, he could die at any moment. Okay, lift some heavy objects.
Here's some chicken fat.
Physical labor. Yeah. So they're moving furniture to fit people. And he's like, how many people are we going to have, babe? Shrug. And she's like, possibly 40. And he's like, and David Bedore, right? Yeah. And this is such a Tamara move. To force the issue of David Bedore up on camera so it can look like it's all Eddie's fault.
Right.
And then she can look like a good friend because she was saying, please don't have David Bedore here.
Yes, exactly. Because she's like, you can't have David Bedore here ever. And she's like, you know, he'll never be welcome in my house. And Eddie's like, he's my friend. Like, what are we, 12 years old? I'm like, please, like, don't do that, Eddie, okay? Because who are the people who act the most 12 years oldish over petty turf wars? It's guys, okay? So don't even, like, try to, like, because you know if it's, like, if another dude, like, sort of, like, smirked at Tamara or whatever. I wouldn't even say that, Eddie, you know what, I'm going to walk it back. He's too listless. I was going to say, because he'd be like, get the fuck off my woman, but he's too listless, so I actually don't. Yeah, no, you did marry a 12-year-old. I walk it back, and the answer is yes. I worked through it. I found what I had to say.
It's not immature to not want to respect your friend who just got cheated on by a fucking guy multiple times, screamed at in public, then got texted that she's fat and worthless by said husband, who cheated on her with someone like 20-something years younger. Fuck you, Eddie, okay?
Yeah, I don't understand these husbands.
If anybody deserves this, it's you. So I hope Tamara starts fucking some Andale's bus boy pronto.
Yeah, I just don't understand these husbands on these Real Housewives shows who they really seem to rally around these guys who get cut out. You know, the way that Peter and Todd were like rallying around Apollo and then later on rallying around Peter. I mean, like these people are all just like scumbags and they're getting chopped for a reason out of these marriages. And these guys are still like hanging out. And like the only reason why the husbands are friends with you in the first place is because of your wives or happen to be on the same show as those guys' wives. I don't know. I just think it's like gross.
Yeah, it's called the Boys Club, okay? It's called the patriarchy.
Yeah, so, man.
By the way, speaking of the patriarchy, one of the sponsors when we go to commercial later is Gilead, which is the city in Handmaid's Tale, which is so disturbing. And Gilead is a pharmaceutical company, I guess, that has Truvia, not Truvia, that's a sweetener, the anti-HIV drug or whatever. So it's all these free, it's like this free to be you and me commercial of people taking PrEP, basically some kind of PrEP drug. And it's just so weird that it's sponsored by Gilead, who kills gay people. So thanks for fucking up my brain last night, Bravo. Very confusing. So back to men treating women like shit. Eddie's like, I want him. And okay, fine. If I don't have him here, that's fine. He's a big boy. And she's like, well, why would he want to be here with his ex-wife anyways? And he's like, he's not here for his ex-wife. He's here for me.
Oh, God. I know. It's like, come on, Eddie. No one's really here for you. This is your wife's party. It's for her show. I mean, like, let's be honest here. So then Tamara's like, listen, I get it. I just don't want Shannon to be mad at me. At least not on this issue, okay? So, like, just work with me here. And then he's like, Shannon will be mad at you no matter what. She's like, I know. Then,
yeah, and he goes, she should be mad at that shirt. She goes, what's wrong with my shirt, Batch? And he's like, it looks like, I don't know. You know, that Eddie.
Yeah.
Quick on his feet, that one. I thought he was about to say the gay pride flag. And I was I dare you, sir.
Yeah.
I dare you.
He probably wanted to unleash some sass. He was like, damn it, I can't do this on camera.
Yeah, I'm in enough trouble.
Yeah.
So the, you know, the kid who's there, Ryan, is like, a crayon box from the 70s. I was like, who are you? Why are you even here? Listen, get out of this house.
Like, if you're straight, don't. Like, you just don't try to, like, do the fashion commentary. I can barely do it and I'm gay, okay? But, like, if you're straight and you're Ryan, no, just no.
Just yeah, that, when you're, like, wearing Sons of Anarchy chic over there, just stay quiet.
I know. When you have, like, a closet full of Ed Hardy and Affliction, like, let's just not talk about the crayons, okay?
David, I think it's time to go to commercial. Do you want to go to commercial, David? David.
And now my least favorite thing of this entire season, children.
Children.
Screaming.
Oh, my God. Children. Kids are so hard. Do you want spaghetti? You want a meatball? You want a meatball instead? Do you want the spaghetti? What do you want?
Yeah, you want biscotti or meatball? I'm Gina in Long Island. You could have spaghettis or you could have a meatball or you could have them both. It's so different from OC.
We can do so many things with our meatballs in Long Island, but in OC, all they can do is make them into a ball. But in Long Island, we can put the three balls together, and it's like a big pyramid of balls. How about that?
Speaking of vision boards, Gina has totally dreamt of being a housewife for a long time, and her vision board is every wall in her house. I mean, it's just filled with Caliente signs.
Oh, it's awful.
Or it's like Ross Dress for Less, Marshalls, TJ Maxx, Home Goods sections of just signs that say obvious things like... Wall.
Yeah, wall. Like good morning, sunshine. Family. Yeah, it is like a disaster in there. Like, she is rivaling Gretchen Christine Butte for her interior decor. Her house is such a disaster. And I was looking at it, I was looking at the layout, because she has like a picnic bench for the table or something like that. And then there's like this faux open concept. It's sort of the dining area sort of bleeds into the living room area. But then there's this fireplace column right in the middle on a diagonal. Did you notice that?
Yes. There's like the stupid fireplace right in the middle of the room.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I understand houses that have that where it's like there was a fireplace. They knocked down the walls around it. And there's like a, almost like a, sometimes it's like a stove or something right in the middle. But this was like a modern fireplace at an angle. It made no sense whatsoever.
So OC.
Yeah.
So, of course, she has no one to shoot with because her husband's never there. And so she keeps inviting people to her house, which is really the worst answer ever.
Okay? Yeah.
If you can't film, don't film. People do not need to be dragged into your house of hell, your house of horrors. Okay. I'm even feeling for Vicky here. And Vicky's a monster.
Yeah. I have never felt so bad for Vicky. I mean, she looked like she was terrified. She looked like she had just like walked into like a secret like Klansman rally or something like that. Like, what is this? Not saying that the children are like Klansmen.
She deals with Ryan's kids. You know,
yeah.
Ball!
It was just like, it was like a circus in there. The circus is a better, you know what? Circus is a better metaphor than Klansmen. So I'm going to use circus instead.
Too late.
It was just the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, what would be like the most horrifying thing? If you opened a door, what was the most horrifying thing you can imagine? It's like a secret Klansman meeting. So that's what I was imagining, you know?
They're like, would you like some biscotti and meatballs?
I've already taken it too far, and we can't even do a hypothetical. Vicky walks into a Klansman meeting where they're having a pasta dinner. Like, that can't.
All right, rewind back to the curve. So Vicky shows up and she rings the doorbell. It's like, woohoo, 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 woohoo. And so the kid answers it in a super woman uniform or whatever. And she's like, whoa, hello. So excited to meet you. Wow. Whoa. Whoa.
She's just like looking at all these like caliente signs and, you know, flower focaccia posters, you know, Paris.
She's like, I have a big sauce about Vegeta because, you know, she is Brianna's age and she did have kids kind of alone like Brianna because, you know, Brianna's with Ryan, like might as well be alone. She did leave and not tell her mother that she was getting married in a drive-thru in Las Vegas. She did get betrayed by her best friend, Tamra.
And she is not allowed to put her feet up on her own couch, so yes.
Another woman projecting all of her own bullshit onto another woman.
Yeah.
So Gina is doing that thing I feel like a lot of moms do, where they're just so frustrated that they're like, making their kids answer the door, and then they're literally leaning on the microwave for strength. It's yeah. like, you can either hold me up or give me enough radiation to kill me. I don't even care what your choice is, microwave, but deliver me. Please.
She just spends all day microwaving water. She's like, this is my only happiness is putting the mug in there and watching it go around in circles.
I'm considering getting a pacemaker just so this thing can end me once and for all.
I keep saying to God, take me now in the form of a microwavable treat.
Bing! My hot pockets are ready.
Every day she's thinking about putting a fork in there. She's like, today's going to be the day. Today's going to be the day.
Kids, you want me to heat you up some tinfoil? Mommy's going to heat you up some tinfoil.
So now they're sitting around eating lunch. I mean, barely having lunch. I mean, I feel so bad for Vicky because this is like not a lunch. This is Vicky's stuck eating the crappy spaghetti that the kids are eating. They're not even having a conversation because the kids are so wild and they're jumping up. And, you know, Gina's like, oh, well, you know, the kids are acting up because Matt's not here. And it's like, no, they're also like a little like you could be a little bit better with your discipline, Gina. I'm sorry. Although it was good that when the kid like shoved her face, she did something that we like never get to see on Bravo, which is that she was like, okay, you go to your room. She did discipline there, but the kids are like standing up, they're jumping around, they're interrupting, they're screaming. It's like, oh my God, just like, can we like, just can you like just yell at them at finally, just yell at them, please. That's all I beg, just yell at them. And I feel yeah, like I'm gonna get a lot of hate mail because it's like, you don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like. I understand that.
Yeah, but as a viewer, I don't know what it's like on purpose, okay? And yeah. I love kids, and I'm about to go see my little nieces. Like, I love kids, but not on my TV. Get off my TV.
Yeah, okay? I don't need to see this. Like, this is not entertaining to me. It's not, like, and I don't think that people, this, we want to see glamour. This is Bravo. We want to see, like, fabulous nouveau riche people of Orange County, not like harried moms who have absentee husbands and children who are, like, crawling up the walls and throwing spaghetti at tea kettles.
That said, with, you know, new moms, sometimes I just feel like they need advice from, you know, someone who's seen a lot more motherhood. Just because I'm older and I've had a lot of friends with kids and stuff like that, there are devices that you can get, and they're really rope. Not expensive. Rope, fly swatters, dog crates.
Water guns. Duct tape. Cloth bags.
Bug spray. I mean, just get a little of that in their eyes. They'll shut right the fuck up. I'll tell you that.
I know. Just some casual, you know, casual props, you know,
yes.
to move it along, some tools, some equipment. I mean, I get it. She's alone. She's alone. She's got three kids. That's a lot to deal with. So I definitely don't envy her. I know she's probably trying to do the best that she can. But man, that is a zoo in there.
It really is. And Vicky's trying to pretend she's interested in Buschetti. And she sees the pic of the husband. And she's like, well, now I know he's a real person, but I don't see any help from him for Gina. There's no picture of that. Where's the picture of him helping with the kids? She's, you know, she's doing all the things moms do. She's picking up, doing homework, coloring, bag size.
It's like Vicky's trying to figure out, like, what moms are supposed to do.
Yeah. And she's looking around. She's like, I've learned a lot from my relationships. You know, if it smells like a skunk, it's a skunk. Because, you know, we have actually a skunk in our house.
If it smells like a skunk, start keeping a traffic keeper of your doctor's visits with that skunk. In case anybody calls it a skunk later. She can say, no, it's that.
If it smells like a skunk, start up a cancer charity with that skunk.
So basically, this is just a sad scene. And Vicky's like, wow, this is sad. Okay, gotta go. I got a seminar in 2 hours. And
I just invented it. It's about spaghetti.
I've got a seminar in meatballs in about 2 hours. So, you know, trying to save some room.
Thanks for letting me do some research. It's meatballs. Linda's going to be there. And just Linda. Just Linda and me. We're just going to have a meatball together.
And she goes, yep, gotta go. Because, you know, I wear a lot of hats, too. Okay, Vicky. Yeah, you're really busy. This poor woman is being abused by three little satanic monsters. And Vicky's like, I got a lot of hats, too. And Gina goes, well, you wear them well, Vic. Like, get the fuck out of my house.
What is she, in Newsies? Well, you wear them well if you wear them at all. Because we're going to go somewhere otherwise we'll fall. Because we wear our hats and we wear them at all. You wear them well, you wear them swell.
Brought to you by Gilead. Newsies brought to you by Gilead.
In Long Island, we have newsies. Out here, like, how else do you get the news? There's, like, no little boys around in, like, a pageboy cap, you know? Like, how do you get your news?
Extra, extra, under his eye. Extra, extra, under his eye.
Okay, Emily's house is next.
Oh, where a dog is humping a pillow.
I feel like this episode is getting all of Ben's favorite things in.
Right? These are a few of my favorite things. Actually, it really does, because I was so happy later on when Crazy Kelly finally resurfaced after, like, being dormant for many, many years, it felt like. So anyway, so Emily is, like, holding one of her children. She's like, oh, affection, affection, affection. And Shane walks in, and he comes in, and she's like, oh, it's a husband. And she, like, leans in because she thinks that he's coming in for a kiss. And he's just like, no, I just want the child. He just, like, takes the baby away.
Yeah, he's like, ew. It really goes to show you that people with similar facial expressions belong together. And I've always believed that. Mm. Like, she has that scrunched face that looks like she's smelling farts, and then he gets that when she tries to kiss her. They're both like, ew, 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 ew. Which I think means that they're a good couple. They're meant to be together.
Yeah. So then she's like, are you excited for the party tonight? And he's like, should I be excited versus, like, any other party? She's like, my husband is the king of snarkasm. See, it's like, he's snarky and, like, sarcasm. So you have to, like, laugh and, like, give it right back to him. And, like, what is your example of giving it right back to him going, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, I sure told him. And I was like, it's going to be fun, right, honey?
He may be the king of snarkasm, but I'm the queen of receiving it, listening to it, and processing.
And she goes, well, I know you haven't met the ladies yet. And he goes, well, I've definitely heard them. Okay, okay. This is over for you, sir.
King enough. Of snarkasm in yeah. the house.
That is enough for you, sir. This is enough bitching about someone being loud in your house. Enough.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he's like, and you know, and then, you know, Emily's excited that he's finally gonna get to meet Gina properly, and he's like, no, I just asked someone to be quiet. I didn't judge anyone, that stupid loud bitch.
Yeah, it's being totally blown out of proportion, which is why I brought it up right now again in front of cameras.
You know what else is blown out of proportion? Bed sheets. King of snarkasm.
Sunday, the king of snarkasm.
King of snarkasm. One night only at the Tustin Auto Mall Pontiac dealership.
So the kid is jumping all. She's trying to make the kid lay down. And he's like, you lay down, mommy. And so she does. She lays face down. And then the kid jumps on her. And it looks like he's going to jump on her butt. And Shane's like, he just wants to jump on your butt. And she's like, oh, now I know how I get pink eye all the time. He puts his face in my butt.
Queen of butt jokes.
I'm the queen of butt chasm, okay?
So then, now we have Kelly rolling up to, like, a boba, like a, well, a coffee house that does boba. And
called
she's like,
Harmony Diva, which is only the OC.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna name my kid that, Harmony Diva. So she's like, So she just walks up to this, like, barista who's already, like, very frightened. And she's like, huh, my friend said she wanted to come here for vulva? I was like, she's single and I'm single. I'm like, you want to go down on me? Oh, what's that? Vulva? Vulva tea? What? You are. Like, you're mean.
You're a vulva!
You're a vulva! You're a mean vulva! I don't drive a vulva. I have a whole dealership for vulvas.
Michael wishes I drove a vulva. He's trying to ruin me.
Queen of vulvas.
Vulvacasm.
So the barista's like, I think she means boba. And she's like, oh, you are.
You are. You're a boba. You are. You're a little boba. That's what you are. You're a little boba. A boba pussy bitch. Boba.
So Shannon comes in. She's like, hi, I would like to order, I think I'm just going to have a nacho.
I guess I'll order something that people who are incredibly self-involved would order, because that's what apparently I am, according to Tamra Judge.
I would like something pint-sized, baptized, and highly prized. What a bitch. How could she?
I would like in my tea 40 to 50 negative bobas, please.
And then it shows Kelly. It's a close-up of Kelly figuring out what bobas are as she drinks them into her mouth. And she's like, whoa.
You can't swallow it. What's this tea? Why is it solid if it's tea?
I don't want balls in my mouth.
And then she's like, Shannon, get a green tea matcha. Get a green tea matcha. It burns fat calories. Get a green tea matcha.
It's good for losing weight.
You're mean. You're a mean calorie. You're she green.
And Shannon, I like that they're all so classic. Kelly's always like, you can lose weight this way. And then Shannon's like, well, doesn't that have a lot of calories? Like, Shannon still has no idea what calories are in what. I will never forget when they were at that stupid hamburger place for her birthday. And she's like, what has more calories? The salad? Or the filet mignon.
Well, sometimes salads can creep up on you, so I get it. I get it.
Doesn't that have a lot of calories? And he's like, no.
It's actually only 35 calories. Ha! Well, that's great. So now they're like going to cross cut between Shannon and Kelly versus Tamra and Gina talking about the whole issue. And it's like, so over and wherever Tamra is, she's telling Gina, she's like, She's such a needy friend. I'm like, okay, come on, Tamra. You are the neediest of all friends. You're the neediest friend, and you undermine everyone, please.
There is so much going on with her, and there's so much going on with me, and I can't take two shits at once.
If I have wills.
And you can.
And Shannon's like, I don't understand why an issue with Emily and Gina turned into one with me. Which
and
is
then
true.
Did you notice she did Kelly laugh?
I did not.
It was kind of fun. They've been hanging. You can tell they've been hanging out a lot because she's taking on her laugh. She goes, how did it go from them to me? Like she did a Kelly laugh, and Kelly goes, maybe she's stressed. Like, she had 9 bad things happen at one time.
I'm like, well, 9 things?
It's like a cat's lives. She's like, oh my God, I'm alive again, batch. I'm alive again, batch.
Batch.
Does this keep happening to me?
Batch. So yeah, so Tamara's like, when Ada was in the hospital, she didn't even call me, which is pretty bad. And then Shannon's like, I had a tough last week and she knows it. And then, you know, she's like, she's always saying you're always getting attacked, and here you are, I'm making this about you. And was that Tamara said that or Shannon said that? I'm getting confused in their own fight.
Shannon's saying, she's saying I act like I'm always being attacked. And, well, I haven't accused anyone of attacking me except my ex-husband. Who else did I accuse? Well, possibly that golf ball for not going into the hole. Okay. All right, that busboy for taking away my plate before I was... Okay. I'm guilty. Guilty.
Everyone's... Okay. Everyone's attacking me.
Guilty of being attacked. In the first degree.
Here lies Shannon Bedore, killed by being attacked by everyone, including Tamra Judge, her best friend.
So she's like, well, I can tell you this, she is mad at me, but I knew for a fact it's not this Emily issue. So if you're mad at me, just say you're mad at me. Are you mad because I put cream cheese and salmon and called it low calorie? Or what? Just tell me the truth.
So then Tamara, of course, is making herself into the victim here. She's like, I just, you know, it's hard to be honest with her. It's hard. Because, like, when you're honest with her, she loses her shit. And I'm scared. And then they show, like, a flashback of Tamara, like, being quote-unquote honest, a.k.a. stirring the pot. And so she'll, like, tell Shannon something. And then Shannon goes, flies off the handle with someone else. And now Tamara's scared. I'm like, well, stop telling her things that are going to make her go crazy. How about that?
Yeah. It's like every time I flick that pit bull in the forehead, I'm afraid that it's going to bite me.
Stupid Tamara. And I love that the editors aren't letting her get away with shit this season. Because yeah. They've given her two good seasons of not getting into any kind of trouble. And now they're just calling her out on every single little thing.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I am afraid of her reaction. I mean, it's almost like we should have thrown her into the mental hospital back at that party with Heather Dubrow where I tried to gaslight her.
I will say this. Shannon is a great candidate for gaslighting. I mean, they, you know, it's sort of like once a season, they're like, let's give it another go. Let's be. So Shannon, you love cauliflower, don't you?
Well, I mean, I like it, but
I
like
you
I
love
do.
It though, don't you?
I mean, I like it. I mean, don't put those cauliflower words in my mouth. What do you think?
How dare you? You will see the truth about cauliflower.
I started cauliflower, Megan.
So they meet at this plant place to get plants.
Yeah.
And now Shannon has a roller. She's rolling in, which I thought at first was just a joke.
Well, there was uneven pavement and, you know, it's like I already have so many uneven things in my life, given what David has done to me, so last thing I need is an uneven pavement, and then Tamara Judge happened to put a crack in there, and I fell right over on account of me gaining weight because of Vicki Gunvalson.
Single white female, much.
Yes, yeah, Tamara. Yeah. She's totally trying to single white female you. Everybody wants the life of a possum face with a constantly shrugging pussy face husband with heart problems, okay? Yeah. That's everyone's dream.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch out, kids.
So the two of them start wheeling around the nursery. They, like, pick up, like, one plant and then make someone else do everything else. And then they, like, literally park their scooters and get onto bar stools, which was funny watching Shannon do it because she's like, all right, well, I'm just going to, like, squeak, squeak, squeak. Okay, here we go. Okay, getting up. I'm disembarking. Whoa, bounce. Whoa, careful, Shannon. Oh, okay. Okay. I'm getting up. I'm up. I made it.
So Tamara's like, you gonna get an x-ray on that fake foot injury? And she's like, well, we'll see how it goes because sometimes it could take a day or an hour or a year or 19 years. Oh, God, my ankle.
My therapist says it takes 2 years to fully get over an ankle sprain until you start trusting your ankle again.
40 to 50 negative ankles.
So Tamara gives her the look like,
now it's time for you to apologize to me, bitch. Cass just ordered an apology tray. So while it's being delivered, let's think about the bad things you've done to me. So she's like, I'm really upset, Shannon. Shannon's like, oh, about the other night, I've been very upset about it.
It's been bothering me.
So Tamara's like, I'm going to try not to cry, which is like the anthem. That should be her next tagline because she like anything she does. She's like, I'm going to go to Stella Top today and I'm going to try not to cry when I get a spatula. So she's like, you know, whenever you have an issue, like you call me and I always take your call because I'm such a good friend. But I try to call you. You didn't call. I didn't call. Okay.
You never say, what about you? And just because I'm not good at expressing my feelings doesn't mean I have them.
You're very good expressing your feelings, okay?
Yeah, that's all
and
you do.
That's all you do is express your fucking feelings. And then you make a warpath to ruin everyone else's lives because of your feelings. And then you use your feelings to excuse your other feelings mm-hmm. that you had that you used an excuse to victimize everybody else. I'm not falling it for it this time, Miss Lady.
And Shannon's like, well, I always want to be there for you. Oh, I want you to be my nacho. I want to be there for you. And so then Tamara's like, I'm afraid to talk to you because it's going to hurt your feelings. And when your feelings get hurt, you eyes spill out. I'm scared. I'm a scared little Tamara. Little Tamara needs to be hugged. Hug me. Hug me. Hug my wheels.
Now invite me to LA next time you go single hunting with Kelly, because that's what she's really mad at.
Yeah.
By the way, also, you know, Tamara is like one of my most hated housewives. Obviously, I have to admit that because she's always wrong. Now, in this case, she is right. I mean, Shannon is that friend. She's like, oh, God, like she'll cry and never even know your name.
Yeah.
So I do see her point, but she just goes about proving it in the wrongest way ever.
Yeah. So then now that they've sort of like buried the hatchet and everything seems to be okay, now they start talking about Eddie. And now Eddie has fully gone off his medications because last episode, he was stopping except for some of them, which didn't make any sense to me. And now he's fully off. And then apparently they went to a new doctor and the doctor was like, take your medications because you could have a stroke any minute, dumbass. So now that scared him. And Tamara tells this story and she's like, you know what? Today, Eddie picked up the phone. I was like, how are you calling? Are you calling the Batchmobile? He says, no, I'm calling God. I said, are you there, God? It's me, Eddie. Why are you doing this to me? You're God. You're God, he said to me. He's losing faith.
Like, well, okay. Yeah, and he never had faith. He told you last time he doesn't like religion. How many times does this guy got to say, do what you want to, but don't involve me in this bullshit? Like you said it a million times.
I just love his overdramatic prop comedy prayers, you know?
He's like, hello, God, it's me, Eddie. If God loves me, why can't I get my locker open?
If God was one of us, do you think he... What if God was one of us?
Just that bet's like, what about... she gives this monologue to us. She's like, I'm trying to stay strong. But when you pray every night and it never comes, and when you're being a good person and you're doing everything right, where's God then? Okay, ask anybody who's starving all over the world here. Okay, God isn't your fucking ATM, people.
Yeah.
Stop that shit. Okay?
God put you on TV. Be happy.
Yeah. You prayed for a knockoff of Curves, okay? And you got it. Be thankful.
Yeah. You prayed that you could finally put some merchandise on your shelves, okay? And you got it. Just relax.
So they decide, Shannon agrees that she's going to be there for Tamara, and then she starts trying to be there for her, and she's like, wow, so, how's Bert? Eddie? Yeah, that's what I meant. So how's he enjoying that new dance class? You mean the hot doctor? Oh, yes. Yes, that.
Did he ever get his toe fixed? You mean his heart? Oh, yes, his toe heart.
Tamara's like, I can't express my feelings. I'm like, you literally just cried on the phone to God.
Yeah.
Who doesn't even have a phone number. Please give me a break. So then they decide they're going to be friends, and then triumphant music plays.
Yeah, everything is fine. So now now is the day of the big Eddie party, and we go to Emily's house, and she's wearing like this like red jumpsuit thingy, and she's like, I'm ready. I got my Vegas outfit on. What do you think? And Shane's like, it's red. King of Snarkasm.
I'm doing the wave right now.
It's a good one, Shane. Good one.
So Tamara is talking to her friends, the hair people. She's like, I found this pictures of Eddie. Interestingly, Eddie was in together. So he did headshots. I like that Tamara's even theater shaving.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I actually don't think that Eddie is gay at all. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with it. We are two gay men. But I do think it's funny that the more we learn about Eddie, it really doesn't help. I mean, you know, they had sex to Lady Gaga for hours. He was in theater. You know, he loves aerobics, you know. It's just hilarious to me.
Hilarious. These pictures are hilarious, and she's got them blown up. And then Kelly and Shannon are in the car talking about blind dates, and Shannon's like, but you have to sit there with someone through a whole meal trying to explain to them what things are because you don't want them to eat their knife.
They're not literally blind, Xana, at all.
Hey, I don't think I got to see that scene. I feel like, you know, my DVR has been doing weird shit, these weird glitches. I don't think I saw them talking about blind dates.
That's not really what happened, but they were talking about blind dates, and she's like, I don't want to have to sit with someone for a whole meal. And Kelly goes, huh, I've never done blind dates in my whole life.
Just don't take me to that vulva tea. That place is mean.
Kelly is already in rare form, okay, yeah. And they're just driving over. And by rare form, I mean, you know, three quarters of the way to Drunk Town.
Exactly.
And so they get there, and Tamara's rolling around her backyard. And she's like, that's great. That's not a rat in my pool, right?
It was like, specifically not a rat. It was like a piece of plastic. It was so obviously not a rat. I like that she thought it was a rat. It's like a pool toy. She's like, that ring, is that a rat or a rake? I can't tell.
Ooh. Who invited Benny? What was their gay friend's name who caused all that problem?
Ricky?
Ricky. Who invited Ricky? Ricky's ravens in the pool. It's like a little faux hawk wig.
Yeah.
Floating around the pool.
So Eddie comes out in his crazy heart suit. And everyone's like, oh my God, the heart suit. That's hilarious. Where did you find that? And then Shane is there. And so Shane and Gina come face to face for the first time since the incident, and he's like, hi, I'm Shane. And she goes, huh, Shane? Oh, it's fucking Shane. It's fucking Shane. Oh my God. It's Shane. You want some sketty? Want some meatballs? Huh? Can I get a hug?
Fucking Shane. Fucking Shane. Because she got in trouble for cursing. So she's like, can we just hug? And he's like, if you calm down.
I was going to let you do it this time. King of snarkasm.
So they laugh and get over it, which is how you should do it. You know, they just kind of laugh and they're like, okay, they're friends now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they got over it, but they laughed.
Yeah, I think that's how you get over it, you know? You just laugh about it, and she's like, I'm a cursing asshole, and you called me on it, and, you know, let's laugh about it. And
don't he's
like, okay.
I do secretly wish that Heather Dubrow was back, because I would love the lecture that she would have given Shane. You know, it would have been a full, like, claw hand lecture to Shane, like a full-on, like, you don't talk to me like that. I don't know you like that. And you're like, oh, I just would have loved it.
But instead, you get Shannon in Michael Jackson leather pants rolling in on her scooter. And Kelly's like, yeah. Keep it rolling, girl.
And Shannon's like, huh, well, I gotta pull up my pants a little bit. And the driver who was like helping her just darts away. He's like, I don't want to. I don't deserve this. I'm going to Dave and Buster's.
So everybody is basically just like, hi, how about, hi, about, hi, about, hi, about, hi, about, hi, about, woohoo, 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 whoa, you've got a pool, wow. Then Shannon tells her pavement story, and because Tamara's mom's like, what happened to you, Shannon, huh? Was it too heavy carrying $30,000 a month on your back? I got her.
So then Kelly, meanwhile, she's drinking in the corner, and she's just, like, staring at Steve. She's like, I can't stand Vicky's boyfriend. He's best friends with my ex-husband. Be a man.
She keeps giving the camera this look like,
but he likes boba. So then he's like, so she's staring at him, and she's mad because he talked to Page Six. So she's like, be a man. What dudes do that? Be a man. I think Vicky's more of a man than him.
Oh, yeah, because he's on Michael's side, apparently. And they showed the Page Six thing, which I didn't read the whole thing, but it seemed like a fairly innocuous quote, because they were fighting fighting through their friend Sashal Medea.
Yeah.
And then Kelly apparently said, once she read this Page Six article, where he was like, I don't even understand why this is a huge fight. Who cares? Why is it her business or something? Yeah. She writes back on Twitter. She goes, at Page Six, Steve Lodge is a douchebag along with this pig of a girlfriend. And I'm 42 years old. Not 44 years old! Page dork. So, you are.
So, yeah, dork was like the buzzword of the party. Because then Vicky is looking at Eddie's photos from his theater life. And she's like, is that Eddie? He looks like John Travolta. And Tamara goes, he looks like dork. Oh, burn.
Well, he looks like a young Arnold Schwarzenegger to me. Watch your cleaning, lady. So Kelly can just not let go. And she's just staring at Steve with this, like, you know when Kelly looks like she's got lipstick smeared all over her face, but she doesn't? It's just because she's, like, pulling a face.
Yeah. No, she has, like, she just sort of speaks of lipstick smear, but she doesn't actually exhibit it. So she's just like, just like, And then, meanwhile, inside, Gina pulls Emily aside. She's like, yeah, I'm having problems with Matt. Yeah, it's happening. We have differences. Shocker. You know. So, yeah. So Emily does her patented move, which is a very slow motion hug. She's like, oh, raising my arm up. It is raising up. It is high. It is now just crested over the shoulder. And we are moving forward and forward and forward. And now it is cascading down the back. And it is lying there. And the hug is complete.
I understand. You know, sometimes marriage is a pain in the butt. Queen of Butt-tasm!
Why are you doing that?
So then Shane is at a table eating, and this is just Shane is at a table eating across the way, and Kelly is with Shannon looking at Steve with a dirty look, and she's like, can we turn this heater on? Ugh. And there's like heater comedy with Shannon and Kelly.
Yeah.
Shannon's
like, well,
don't blow us up. I mean, you know, these things are very dangerous. They're bad for the environment, and they're not part of a green code.
Damn! It's a pilot light. There's a pilot light on this. Where's the pilot light?
So Vicky goes inside, and she's like, oh my God, Judas Crack, and Emily's pretending to like hugs up. What's her bad Eminem doing over there? What's she doing over there? So they figure, you know, Vicky's trying to give Vicky patented advice, which she's never followed once in her life. But she's like, words of advice from someone who's lived a life of journeys and cack. I gave up too quick, and I would have made it work. And, you know, Gina has a lot of life lessons ahead, but you figure it out because she's got three small babies. Did you hear my testimonial? You figure it out.
You figure it out. Listen, take this from a woman who has 7 out of 10 punches on her subway card. Just make it work. Stick it out.
I don't even want to know about this.
I'm out.
Yeah, like for
the woman who's the woman who loves saying I'm out. She's telling you to stay in there.
And the only reason she regrets divorcing Don is because he took so much money from her in the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think maybe she did, well no, she doesn't regret the first husband because
he was abusive.
Abusive, yeah. Yeah,
the second husband, and she said it on TV. That's not just a bitchy comment. She's like, oh my God, he took so much money from me.
Yeah, it's true.
If I had known, I just would have stayed with him, you know, given him a second week in the house or something.
So now Kelly and Shannon are still stewing, or Kelly's more stewing, and she's like, have you spoken to Emily? I haven't spoken to Emily. Where's Emily? Where is she?
And Shannon goes, I haven't either. And she goes, well, yeah, what are you supposed to say? What are you going to say? How's your Mormon husband? God.
Persian Mormon. God.
So she sees Steve and she's like, should I say something to Steve? And Shannon's like, well, I'm direct, but you should try to be non-confrontational because you have a valid point, Kelly, and you don't want it to get lost in fuck yous and C-words. Okay?
So I shouldn't say fuck you, stop talking shit, douchebag.
Nope, that's not the way to do it.
Should I say, you're a 60-year-old man acting like a little bitch about me. You're a bitch.
No, I think that maybe you just say, Steve Lodge, my feelings are hurt, and here is my license and registration.
And Kelly's like, okay, I'll just be like, hello, Mr. Lodge.
Who is he, Lodge? Is he a building on a mountain? Is he a lodge? Like we go skiing and go like sit and have hot cocoa inside of Steve? Who is that dork?
Why is it so airy?
Mountain airy lodge.
All you need to bring is your love of everything. Beautiful Mount Airy Lodge.
Classic. That is a classic.
It really is.
So then Shannon's like, well, she has a history of being confrontational. And then we see a montage of Kelly like, shut the fuck up. You're a fucking
You're mean. Stop it. No. You're a cunt. Fitness. So Kelly walks up to Steve and she's like, listen, I don't want to make a big deal about it, but what happened on social media really bothered me. And Steve is like, I don't follow social media. He's now in full on, like, I'm an officer who's pulled you over mode, you know? Like, happy-go-lucky, yeah. Hey, I'm just Steve, open up sausage jars and defrosting chickens. That's gone. Now he's like, let me see your license and registration. Mm-hmm. You know?
I don't follow social Medea, okay? She's her own woman. She's like, oh, really? You don't know? You don't know? You don't know you talked to page six? You don't know you talked to page six? And he's like, page six of what book, ma'am? Okay, I would like to see page six of your license and registration and proof of insurance.
The only page six I read is of code violations in the state of California, ma'am. Can you please step out of the car? I'm not even in a car! You actually are.
You walk a line!
I'm going to need you to recite the alphabet from Z to A. Why would I do that? That's stupid. That's stupid. That hell doesn't go people. That way.
So he's like, Kelly, I'm not having this conversation. Do you want me to pull it up on my phone? And he's like, I'm walking away now. Yeah, he's like, I'm walking away now. So then she's sitting there and Shane goes, I mean, look, all he's saying is if you have a complaint, you should bring it to him. She's like, I haven't even seen him.
He goes, well, why are you making a big deal out of it? She goes, I'm not. He's like, King of Snarkasm.
So then inside, Vicky's like, oh my God, Steve, what happened? What did Kelly do? And he's like, she just wants to argue with me. And you know what? I'm calling in backup. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to wait in here until backup arrives. And she goes, don't drink your Kool-Aid, Steve. Don't drink her Kool-Aid.
It has boba in it. I heard everything. So then Kelly's just out there just shaming Steve to Shane. Shane's just, I don't know why he's even sitting there and engaging in this, because he doesn't know what's going on in terms of, like, you know, like, well, he may know some things, but, like, he should know better. And so she's like, why would a man write this? Like, why would you do that? That didn't make a big deal. He did. And he was like, you're telling me he's the only man that's ever written about you? Which was
a weird thing to say.
It was weird, and it, like, brought in, like, that, well, it was that snarkasm. But it was also, like, that, before that, he was just sort of being a devil's advocate. But when he said that, it's like, do you know something? And she's like, yeah. And now,
yeah, actually,
it was the moment that Jeff Goldblum waved the flare and got the T-Rex's attention in Jurassic Park. Because remember, Sam Neill did it, and then they froze, and the T-Rex was like, huh? Where are you? Here's an archaeologist writing about me on page six. Where are you? And then, like, Shane is like, no, look at me over here. I'm going to do it too. And now Kelly's like, okay, I'm going to eat you.
Yes, because Kelly was just kind of, she wasn't going to totally go for him, but now he's pissed her off.
Yeah.
And she goes, yes, actually, no one's ever written about me. And he goes, all right, you know what? And he puts up his hands. This is what you should have done in the first place.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's between you and him. It's just between you and him.
I don't know.
Yeah. And she goes, oh, yeah, it is between me and him. So why are you getting involved?
I'm not. Why are you? I'm not. I'm like, it's too late now. It's like, it's too late for him now.
But it's not too late until he says this. He goes, all right, well, you're drunk. So,
yeah.
I'm drunk? This is my first drink. I'm not drunk. And Shannon's like, she's not. Oh, God, she's not drunk.
And then Shane, king of snarkasm, goes, wait, that's your normal behavior? You just got shamed.
I like that he followed that up by going, my wife is trying to kiss me face.
To be fair, at a party where everyone's calling each other dorks and twerps, like, he's really at sort of the taste level, but still, it's like, yeah, sir, you don't know. You are bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Yes, and then Kelly really does hurt it, you know, because Kelly, this is such a Kelly slam, but in high school, Kelly was a cheerleader. She was popular, and let's just imagine what Shane was in high school, okay? So when she turns to him and she goes, you know what you are? You're a fucking dork. That's what you are. Loser. dork. You're a dork. And then she walks off screaming that he's a dork.
Yeah.
Which is so high school, and it's such a high school slam, and, you know, it's correct, but I was like, ouch.
Yeah, it was That's probably the meanest thing
she could have said.
I know, and then he's like, oh, well, unfortunately, your opinion doesn't matter, which is also, like, how, when you're a dork in high school, that's how you respond. You just,
yeah,
like, yeah, you just try to dismiss it, you know? So then Shannon's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. You know, she's very upset. She's an angry woman. She's going through a lot of things. And then Kelly comes storming back, and goes, don't talk to him! He's a little twerp, little pussy, He's a twerp pussy, a twercy. That's what he is.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Shane. I'm so sorry. So sorry. And he goes, that's your friend. Ooh.
Which, you know, just makes me glad that Kelly's being mean to him, because he really is just a little shithead. So she goes inside, and
it's the best moment of the episode.
The girls are in there, and she's like, that little guy over there, what a bitch! That little man over there, the one that Steve's talking to. It's like, who? Which one? Like,
are you talking about Steve? No! Stop talking about Steve's little bitch next to him! I don't know who he is! Wait, what? You know, the guy who looks like that guy who's in all your wedding photos? That guy, whoever he is.
That guy waiting for the pot at the end of the rainbow.
Remember there was that crazy person upstairs in your house at poker night? Him.
He's a little bitch.
Little bitch.
You mean my husband?
Is that your husband? That's your husband? You didn't introduce him. And they do a flashback to 30 minutes earlier. Where it's like, Kelly, this is my husband, James. Oh, hi, nice to meet you. Which supports my theory that's why I'm like, I don't think Kelly knows who I am. Because, like, she can literally, like, meet someone and 30 minutes later have no recollection that she ever met him.
So she's still screaming, and then she goes, I swear to God, I didn't know that was your husband. I swear to Jesus Christ. But he's standing up for Steve. And Steve is here now, and he's like, I was not. Ugh.
Or Shane, yeah. Shane's there.
Yeah,
now.
Shane. And she's like, You shouldn't have stuck your face in the middle of it, dork.
Yeah, he's like, well, you shouldn't have come over to our table where we were speaking. Oh, your table? This is your house and your table? What are you, like, Lancelot? And it's your table?
Where's your name on it? Yeah. Where's your name?
If you like it so much, put a ring on your table.
Shane had a table sitting in a tree.
K-F-U-C-K-I-N-G. Yeah, you fuck a table, you little bitch.
And Shane tells Emily, this is someone you want to hang out with. This is someone you want to hang out with. Okay, Shane, come fight with the women now, okay? This isn't bad enough already, okay?
Yeah, you said I was drunk. You said I was drunk? You're a little bitch, dude. You're a little bitch, dude.
Hey, he's my husband. He's my husband. I'll kill you. Like, Emily I love that she just throws all abandon to the wind, and then her face doesn't even move still. It's still the same poo-poo, I smell poo-poo face.
And then Kelly's response to that's my husband is, no, that's a little bitch! Which, by the way, it's, like, so problematic to, like, to perpetuate that narrative, you know, that, like, like, if you're a guy is, like, a jerk, he's, like, quote-unquote little bitch, because, you know, it's, like, it continues that idea that, like, to be feminine is, like, the worst insult you can say about a man. However, it was really funny.
Oh, God. He's a little bitch.
He's a little bitch.
Yeah, he's a little bitch. And so Emily's freaking out. And she's like, get her the fuck away from me. I'm gonna kill you. And then Kelly stops and smiles really big at Shannon. And she goes, holy shit.
Well, like, she's like, hit me, hit me, hit me.
But Kelly is totally, Emily's really earned Kelly's respect.
Yeah.
Kelly's like, whoa, holy shit.
That was awesome. Did you see that, Shannon?
And Shannon just goes, Kelly, oh, Kelly. Jeez. Archie. And that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Orange County, everybody.
Yeah, it was very, very exciting. I really enjoyed it.
What a fun episode.
Yeah, that was great.
We will be back. We released two episodes yesterday, then today. We'll be back tomorrow with Below Deck Med, and then our Dallas recap won't come out until Friday because we are doing it live in Denver.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun. So fun. So buy tickets for that. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com for those tickets, or the link to the tickets. And Friday, we got those Dallas tickets. We got New York coming up in October. Don't sleep on New York either, people. Seattle in November, Nashville in December. It'll be a great, great time.
We will talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to passengers joining the Now TV summer service to Streaming Central. In the entertainment carriage, we'll be serving over 300 box sets and the latest and best shows. Highlights include Supernatural Romance, A Discovery of Witches. Passengers are also invited to enjoy over 1,000 movies, including a trip to the dark side with Star Wars The Last Jedi and laugh-along adventure Jumanji. Welcome to the jungle. There's summer streaming sorted with Now TV.
18 plus month passes auto-renew, terms apply.